Listen, my brother's having a birthday. He's turning 40. I've got a lovely house up
on
the hill.
No one ever turned 40 before. Yeah, go ahead.
Come, you smile, take a few photos, shake a few hands, just be cordial.
Yeah, can't do it.
Why not?
Can't be cordial.
You're listening to League Podcast, Curbcast, Season 12, Episode 10, No Lessons Learned. I'm Matt Durst.
Clay Inferno here, and we better not fuck it up.
Right. Just like they fucked up the Seinfeld finale. So, yeah, here we are, the last one, I guess the ultimate, as we always say, the penultimate, but we're like a little late on this because your life went a little catawampus.
Yeah, went a little catawampus. I spent the night in the emergency room having high on drugs and having very vivid hallucinations about my pain. You know, I could visualize my pain. It was cool. It was like a Tool video in my mind.
That is really weird.
It was weird.
Wow. Sounds kind of cool, but not that I want to go through it. Yeah.
No matter how many drugs they gave me, I never felt any better. Like, I couldn't fall asleep. I was just like, please dope me up so I can fall asleep. I just want to sleep.
No, and that happened.
Nope.
That happened to me too, actually. And it, yeah, not like, I just was never, I could never sleep. Like, I felt tired when I was on pain. It was also whatever antibiotics they had me on too. It just made me super awake, and I was watching movies. I remember watching that. Do you remember the Vince Vaughn Psycho remake?
Yeah, I do.
It was on like at 4 a.m, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, "What am I doing? Like, this has got to be like the lowest point in my at that point." I was like, "I can't believe it's 4 a.m. I'm watching this terrible movie, pointless remake," and I'm like, "Why did they make this movie?"
I don't remember it being bad or good. I just remember being excited when it came out and I watched it then.
Well, I mean, it was shot for shot Psycho. It wasn't like there was only very minor changes. So I'm like, why do they even make this movie? It's the same movie. Like,
right.
Why bother updating it? But anyway, I'm glad you're okay. I hope you're sleeping a little better now.
Yeah, we should tell the listeners not to be alarmed. I'm fine. Everything's
good.
Okay here, Dimitri. Everything's fine. I have gallstones, but it's nothing that'll kill me. I'll be just fine.
Yes, just a little catawampus. I just wanted to work that word in. I don't know if you wanted to even talk about it, but
I will gladly tell you about any free drugs. As a sober person, you don't get free, exciting, you know, drug stuff to talk about. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Call that a freebie in the biz.
In the biz. I will say, too, the other thing that I remember about pain meds, and I remember when I was healed, and they were like, okay, and I was like, okay, I'm out of the pain drugs. And they were like, oh, we're not going to renew that prescription. I was like, really?
Damn it.
I should have told them I was in pain. I mean, I know, like, I can see why people get addicted to that stuff. You know, because it's they're great.
Makes you feel great,
yeah,
great.
I've never been. I don't think I have an addictive personality or anything, but I was okay with those. I just kept taking them. So yeah. Oh well, I'm glad you're well, and we're all fine here. Let's start.
Of Psycho's star, which I was in my mind, I was like, was that Gus Van Sant? And it was, but we didn't. We didn't get any Vince Vaughn in this episode. I thought everybody, all the main characters would be in it, but
no Freddie Funkhauser. I was a little disappointed, but not really. But I mean, I was like, oh, I wanted to see what happened with Freddie. But yep. I you know who else I would have liked to have seen? Cousin Andy. We haven't seen him.
Oh yeah.
Richard Cunningham.
Yeah. Or even in like the flashbacks, because you mentioned the Seinfeld finale, which I watched literally yesterday, and I was like just drawing the parallels, of course, but yeah, they, you know, they have all the flashbacks there. They could have done a flashback with Cousin Andy.
Yeah, I mean, they showed, we'll get there, but they showed Larry and the Black Swan, and he was in that episode very, very predominantly because he was the one who wanted to tell on. He couldn't deal with the, you know, the pressure of lying and everything. I mean, yeah, there were definitely a few characters I would have been like, oh yeah, look at that. But Fuzzer is definitely number one.
We'll get to our, you know, I guess we wouldn't rate the episode, but did you feel good about the finale? Like, did you like it?
I did. I felt good. I liked, you know, we've been talking all season about like, are they going to keep bringing up the Seinfeld finale? What are they going to do? You know, like, and then there was like, what's going to happen? Is Larry going to die? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like speculation. Yeah. And, you know, it's not, nothing like that happened. It was a definite send-off of the Seinfeld finale. But that's it. Like Larry, well, yeah, we'll talk about it. But I was happy
we'll
with
get
it.
There. I just wanted to know, like, yay or nay, you know, you don't have to give a number of thumbs, but were thumbs up or were thumbs down? I would say thumbs were up on my end over here.
Great. Great. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to bring up is because, you know, we talked about Conan and some of my favorite people being in this, you know, in this season. And here with Jerry Seinfeld makes a very important appearance, actually. So that was awesome.
The director of Unfrosted, Jerry Seinfeld?
Yes. Yes. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, Jerry is a wealthy man, right? This show made him ridiculously, and not that, you know, but this guy still works, you know, like he is probably one of the richest guys. I don't know how rich people are, you know, rated or whatever. He's obscenely wealthy. He still does stand up. He still does like shows. Guy doesn't have to do anything. And he's like, yeah, Larry, I'll be on your show. Of course.
One of those stand-up guys that loves stand-up and, like, will do it till the day he dies.
Yeah, I mean,
Leno's the same way. They just love doing stand-up.
It's crazy, you know? I mean, like, he says he has to do it because otherwise he feels rusty or something, you know, if he doesn't perform regularly. It's crazy. So I was happy to see him. I mean, we thought, like, Jerry might be on there, but he definitely was. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Let's start talking about it here. We have a long, long sequence on the plane at the beginning of the episode. And because Larry, first of all, he doesn't have his seatbelt on and he's on his phone. And the stewardess, flight attendants. Sorry. Whoa. Little Austin Powers there.
I think you're a little too hard on yourself for that.
They're called flight attendants.
Okay.
She comes on and says, sir, please, you know, put your phone, you know, she keeps saying turn off. They do make a reference to airplane mode or whatever. And buckle your seatbelt. And then I love Larry says, oh, more government interference. Next thing you know, they won't let me have an abortion on the plane, which is very timely. I mean, they filmed that months ago, you know? Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So we established a lot of things here. We established, first of all, Susie is there. Susie, Jeff, and Leon are all on this plane. Susie says, hey, where's Lewis? Larry tells him he flew out 2 days earlier to rekindle. He's rekindling? They say, like a woman he broke up with 30 years ago. He's going to meet up with her. So, and Leon is going to binge Seinfeld. And he's going to start watching it on the plane. He said, I'll let you know. And Larry's like, I don't care. I don't think of you as a person, he says. So Larry, even though he told the flight attendant that he was turning his phone off, he didn't. He's still on it. And she comes up to him and says, sir, someone told me that your phone is still on. He's like, there's a squealer on the plane? And he says, who told you? And she's like, well, now you want me to squeal? And on them, that doesn't seem right. It's like, well, it's a different kind of squealing. And they have this nice debate back and forth. like Larry wants to know who it is, and then like he's like, was it you? And Leon's like, what? Why would I bring attention to it? I'm on my phone. And Larry says, oh, this man is on his phone. He squeals on Jeff and Leon. That's a lot of squealing on this plane, but it's a different kind of squealing. Yeah. So anyways, they're flying obviously to Atlanta because the trial is starting, which I guess we should have mentioned that. But all right, so there, Larry and Leon are in a car after they land, and Leon's talking about he watched some episodes of Seinfeld, and he said, why didn't you tell me it was a show about weekly ass? Or he says, it's not about weekly ass. And Leon is so happy that Jerry got, you know, he has a girl every week. And he's like, how would you, you know, I knew he was fucking him. You need extra dicks. It was basically his conclusion. Like backup mm-hmm. dicks.
Sex. That's basically a fuck documentary.
He does say that, yes. So anyway, now they're at their exit and they want to pull over to get off the exit. And there's a woman in a blue Mercedes that will not let them in. And they're like, kind of yelling. He's like, come on, what are you doing? Let me in. And then she flips them off. And so Leon flips her off. And he finally has to slow down and get off after them. And then as the woman's driving away, she just yells, fuck you.
There's nothing more that I hate than trying to get over to the right side to pull off on an exit if you're not in the right lane. That is the worst. My anxiety is through the roof on something like that.
It's pretty bad, especially around here. I mean, let's face it, we're in Massachusetts. People around here drive like schmucks. I know, because I'm one of them. I drive like an asshole too. You have to, like, or you're gonna be left behind, you know?
Yeah, it's like you have to have an aggressive gene, and I kind of don't. And I'm like, I gotta get over. Oh, I missed it.
I know, it's bad. It's rough. Anyway, they get to their hotel. I love it. There's a guy in the lobby, like a luggage guy. What do they call those guys? I guess a luggage porter, maybe? Something like that.
A porter, yeah.
Yes. All right. And he says, Larry, I'm pulling for you. And Leon says, you'll never have to buy another pack of Cools ever again. He's the most popular white guy
in Atlanta, yeah.
Yep. So anyways, he's walking through the lobby and a kid bops Larry in the head with like a rubber ball. And the mom comes over and she's like, oh, no, like, say your, you know, what do we say? And I love his name is Preston. Like, I love like the fucking pretentious names.
Yeah, right. And Larry's just kind of like not fazed by it. He's like, it's okay. He didn't hurt me at all.
Yeah. Like, you know, no, it didn't hurt.
He doesn't care.
And she's like, no, he has to learn this. Or she says, we have to learn this. And he's like, we don't have to learn this. We don't have to learn this. He doesn't have to learn anything. And actually, so there's two significant things here, even though this seemed like just a funny throwaway scene. First of all, what I thought was significant, Larry says, here, let me help you. And he goes to the kid. He says, I'm 76 years old. I mean, I don't think we've ever said his age the entire run of the show.
Right.
Do you think? I mean, I can't remember it ever coming up. Except they make reference to him being old, but they never say his age.
His old long balls and everything. They talk about him being old a lot.
Yeah, they talk about him being old, but they never said the number. So I don't wonder if he was just like, fuck it. It's the last one. I'm going to tell. I mean, you could easily find out, but it never came up how old, you know, Curb Larry was. Let's just say Curb Larry. So anyways, he says he's 76 years old and he's never learned a lesson in his life, which is part of the theme of the whole show.
No lessons learned.
That's right. Yeah. And you remember.
And what's the Seinfeld one? It's not a show about nothing. It's
no hugging, no learning.
No learning, yeah.
That was the mantra on the set.
Kind of the same.
Yeah. So they get to the hotel bar. Lewis is there. Susie is trying to convince him they have a reservation for Auntie Ray's. They're going to go see Auntie Ray. She's back. But Lewis can't go because he's meeting Cynthia. Cynthia comes in. I love this. This is great. Like, he says, oh, everything's great. We're great. The sex is great. And they're like, oh, don't talk about that.
This reminded me of your reaction when Jeff was cheating on Susie with that other lady and with the realtor lady.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And you were like, oh my God, I just don't want to picture him. And I was just like, what do you care? Like, you know, who cares? You're like, oh, just picturing him. And then you, what cracked me up about that was that Jeff was saying to Richard, he got nauseous picturing him naked.
Never do that again. Basically. But apparently it's going great. But Lewis says, when they broke up 30 years ago, she actually attempted suicide. And Larry's like, really? You know, can't believe that someone would do that over him, I guess.
Yeah, over you?
Yeah.
It's kind of like on Arrested Development. Her?
Yeah, then it's even more, they do the same thing later. Yeah, him? Like Larry? Yeah. Like, it's pretty funny because then they say like, well, what? She probably just said that for sympathy, you know, try to get you to come back. Anyway, so Cynthia comes in, and it's Allison Janney, who I love. She's great. She's a great
actor. She's awesome. She's the best.
She's, so good. But also, it's the same woman from the blue Mercedes who wouldn't let them in. And she denies it.
Flatly denies it. Oh, I wasn't even on that part of the highway today or whatever, you know.
He's like, oh, I'm pretty sure. I guess it is kind of embarrassing. Like, what would you? Someone called me out for something evil I did on the road. I mean, is it weird? Like, I guess you could be like, oh, that was me. You know, I don't know. But she denies it. Anyway, they're all going to dinner. They're about to leave. And then Cheryl shows up and she's like, oh, I'm waiting for Ted. He's protesting on Larry's behalf. And Larry's like, he's protesting on his behalf.
Yeah, trying to steal the spotlight.
Yeah. And I mean, he's right. He is. Larry, this is one of the Larry is right situations. It's exactly what Ted Danson is doing.
He's not going to stand by off camera and let people be mistreated.
Each time we see Ted in this episode, he's doing something like, he's like, oh, how's the hair or whatever. Like he wants to make sure he looks good. So anyways, they're about, they're going out. Cheryl's like, well, is there another place we can get dinner? And they say, oh, there's this Mexican restaurant. And Larry's like, ah, she doesn't like Mexican food. And Cheryl is upset, which is very weird. Like, she's like, don't tell. That's very personal. Like,
I was thinking it to be, like, kind of, like, you know, hashtag, like, woke. She doesn't want people to think that she doesn't like Mexicans because she doesn't like Mexican food. You know, like, don't tell people I don't like Mexican food.
Right. Like, it's almost a
That's
racial.
That's how I was kind of thinking.
Like, a racial thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny. Yeah, he says, like, you don't like funnel cake. Can I tell people that? And she's like, yes. He's like, you don't like the remake of The Fugitive with Harrison Ford. Can I tell people that? What a weird movie to bring up. Anyways, she thinks, I guess that's what it is, right? It's sort of, she doesn't want people to think she's prejudiced because she doesn't like Mexican food. Anyway, they go to Auntie Ray's. And LD is telling them about Cynthia cutting them off and then denying it. It's like, I think I'm going to say something. And he says, actually, Susie says, you never learn, which is, you know, true. He does not learn. He tells a story about when he was 19, he called the bartender captain and he got a dirty look and he never called someone captain again. They get their salad and the dressing is amazing. And Susie is so like, oh, she loves it. She said if she would eat salads every day, if she could make this dressing. Now Auntie Ray comes over and she's like, what is in this? And she's like, oh no. Oh no, girl. I love Auntie Ray. She's so funny. I can't give you that. You know, and they're all like, yay, happy, happy, you know, whatever.
Even for you, baby, I don't do it. That's just the way it is. And then Larry's like, mic drop. And they're all laughing.
All right, so I love this scene. We get jury selection for the trial. And I love Greg Kinnear is the prosecuting attorney. And he puts on this great Southern accent. I don't think he's Southern, but it sounds like a real Kentucky Fried Chicken kind of like guy. I don't know. He's like, what, Annie, are you stealing a loaf of bread to feed a starving man? And whatever. He sounds better than me. But anyway, Greg Kinnear, another great guest star here.
Yeah.
And also, for Breaking Bad fans, Dean Norris, Mike, from Breaking Bad, is the judge.
That's right.
Big bald guy, you know? I mean,
couple of greats.
Yeah, couple of greats. And so Larry has some thoughts about the jury. First guy, there's a guy wearing a string tie, and he says, "No liberal would be caught dead in a string tie." Clay, I don't want to get political, but I know you own a string tie.
I've known, Your Honor, to on occasion wear a string tie. I maybe have a collection of more, one or two. We call them a bolo tie. Now, if I may bring this to the jury's attention, Your Honor, I am a liberal. Just to be,
I didn't want to get into it. But I figured you definitely leaned more liberal.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, so you're the exception.
My name's Clay. I kind of got to lean into the clay a little bit sometimes. Southern name like that. Your Honor.
Yes. Yes. Well, anyway, you're the exception that proves the rule that no liberal would be caught dead in a string tie.
That's right. The exception that proves the rule. That's a great turn of phrase. I always love that.
Thank you.
Especially when it's applicable to me.
It is. Yeah, I think more like when you wear it, like if you're in the South and you think you're some kind of like Southern gentleman, you know, like maybe you do. Different connotation up here. But anyway, so get rid of that guy. Second person doesn't like big hair. Shades of Kellyanne.
Yeah, that he's just like this other one, Fox viewer.
Yeah, that's a Fox watcher. Yeah, this old guy with like a bow tie. The guy's got like a bow tie on. He's like, oh, that's a Fox watcher. And this is my favorite, the last one, the guy with the comb over. He says, that's a self-loathing bald man. And he's going to hate me, another bald man.
Yeah, right here. He hates himself and he hates other bald men. He's got to go. And his lawyer's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, but she's like,
25 or whatever.
She's basically like, you shouldn't worry about the jury. You should worry about, like, you know, going to jail is basically what she says. And making a point to mention that this is a high-profile case. The judge says you will be sequestered.
And they're all like, oh, so bummed. They're like, oh. Yeah.
Larry's like, I bet there's a bad sequester in there. Like, he says it jokingly. Yeah, oh, man, it's horrible to be sequestered, man. I've never been sequestered. Actually, I've never even been on a jury. Knock on wood there, but yeah.
Yeah, neither have I. I've gone to jury duty a few times, and every single time I think they just look at me and they're like, get out of here. Or they've never picked me. But you like get...
It's the string tie, right?
But both times I was like working a job where like, you know, like working like a regular, like, you know, 9 to 10 to 6 job or whatever. Both times they like let go in early and let me go at noon, and then I just don't have to work the rest of the day. I don't tell the people that I'm back at work. That was the best.
Yeah, that was always cool. Do you remember? I don't remember what season it was. I don't remember what the circumstances were, but Larry was called for jury duty, and he told them that he was a racist. So he wouldn't get on the jury. He said, I don't think I could be impartial being at the...
I feel like they do that in Discovery for... I feel like that was in this show. Maybe not, but I feel like they mentioned it like in later on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember what... but he didn't want to serve, and he said, I don't think I could be impartial being that the defendant is a Negro. So... Oh, yeah. It all comes back around. So anyways. Oh, also, I should say, I mean, this is very interesting. I mean, as we are recording this, yesterday was the first day of jury selection for Donald Trump, his criminal fraud trial. So this is all very timely.
They have 6 jurors as we're recording this.
Wow.
Yeah. So they have some. But they had to... I couldn't help but think of this episode... When I was like catching up on the news today, I was like, I wonder if he's like that guy over there, get him out. He watches Chris Hayes.
Yeah, he would disqualify the CNN watchers or whatever, you know. He would definitely want a string tie wearer on his jury. Anyway, so next day, Larry goes down to get his coffee in the lobby, and he runs into Cynthia, and you know what? She's a tosser. Did you notice that?
She's a tosser. I noticed. I was going to say something. You get used to it. She's a tosser.
Yep. With
the blue Mercedes.
Blue Mercedes, yeah. And she says, keep it close.
Blue Mercedes there, huh?
She likes it. So he doesn't bring up the car thing again, which I thought he would, but he brings up, it's like, oh, I heard you attempted suicide. She's like, Richard told you that? He's like, oh, yeah, we're close. We're very close. We tell each other everything. And she admits, yes, she attempted suicide. She was very emotional. It was a difficult time. She says, I suppose you've never loved anyone or anything like that. And he's known loss. Larry says he's known loss. And he brings up the 2004 playoffs where the Yankees lost 4 in a row to the Red Sox. He does say the hated Red Sox, but
I was devastated for weeks. I felt like killing myself, actually.
I know. He said he contemplated suicide. That was like one of the best weeks of my life. This is obviously Larry and I disagree on this one, but that really made me laugh, especially since the Red Sox just celebrated. They had like a big 2004 reunion because it's 20 years. Big doing.
This is our fucking city, man.
That's right. That's right. This is our fucking city. Well, that was 2013, but yeah, right? I mean, it's still our fucking city. Poppy was on the 2004 team too.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yep.
Poppy.
But then he does, to show love, Larry talks about the Rangers won the Stanley Cup in 1994. He says, but yeah, like she's, you know, like, so Larry's, because he doesn't believe her, because she lied about the car. And I guess he doesn't believe that someone would kill themselves over Lewis. As we mentioned earlier, yeah, he says, him? And she's like, this is your friend. He's like, oh, yeah.
And she also says, you're actually the first person to ever ask me that, Larry, because most people wouldn't ask that of somebody that's had mental health issues and has tried to kill themselves. You know what I mean? Even if they knew. Even if it was like public knowledge, like everybody knows I did this because I was in the hospital or whatever. Like, you would never bring it up, never, especially around here. Like, you, no way a puritanical, you know, Mayflower descendant would ever bring that up. It's not a polite conversation.
Right. But he says, well, it would maybe be inappropriate if the person actually did try to commit suicide. So he's like, yeah, he's just calling her right out. And then he asks, how did she do it? And she doesn't remember. Like, I mean, so obviously she's full of shit, because you would remember if you tried to commit suicide, even though it was, she's like, it was a long time ago. But you would, Larry's content, and I do side with Larry on this one. I mean, there's no way you wouldn't remember. But anyway, she just blurts out, pills!
Put inside like a kind of a mental block, like a Magneto, Professor X, like compartmentalize it so much that you forgot about it.
I guess you're right.
That's possible, you know? But she's like,
possible.
Pills. She had an answer. Yeah.
But she says pills.
She had an answer. Pink pills.
Yeah. She says pills.
What kind of pills? Pink pills.
Yeah, pink. And then we get the look.
One last look.
He gives her the Larry look, and it's perfect. Like, and then she says, tell Lewis I'll be in the car. So he walks in, he sees Lewis having a muffin sitting there in the restaurant, the hotel. And he's like, what are you doing with your back to the door? He's like, oh, my fans, they'll swarm me. It's like, wait, like a
like,
beetle?
Yeah, your regular yeah. Beetle. He's like, will you spread that around?
Oh, I love Lewis. Anyway, so he's like, yeah, he says, Cynthia's in the car. He's like, no, she's meeting me here. He's like, I just had a thing with her. And Lewis says, why do you keep ruining these things for me? And the woman tried to hang herself. And he's like, oh, because she told me she took pills. And he's like, what's the difference? So she is lying. But
the other funny thing is, he's like, you keep ruining things for me. He's like, we were going to get married and have kids. He's like, what are you going to adopt?
He's like, you going to adopt a 40-year-old?
A doctor or a lawyer?
Yeah, he's like, oh, we're going to maybe a doctor or a lawyer. He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Anyway, so he's going into the courthouse, Larry and his lawyer, and Ted is out there with a megaphone, and he asks Larry, Larry's like, what are you doing? He's like, you know, they're suppressing the vote. And he's like, but why did you bring up that Shaw doesn't like Mexican food? He even says it like kind of quiet, like he doesn't want to say it out loud.
Yeah, that's what I thought was funny too.
And he's like, what's the difference? He's like, well, it's not your story to tell. He's like, there's no story here.
There's no story.
And of course, another great reference. They go inside. There's water, glasses of water on the table. No coasters. Larry says, they want you to respect the law, but the law doesn't respect wood.
That's one of my favorite Curb things ever. I'm always like asking people if they respect wood.
I mean, there's no way that you can look at a glass of water or a drink or whatever on a table and not think about it, right? Anywhere you go, you know, a wooden table.
I had a coaster made on Etsy. On one side, it was a Batman logo. I think I like lost it. I don't know where it is. And
oh, then no.
On the other side, because it was made out of wood, you could like laser etch anything into it. I had them put the Batman logo on one side. On the other side, it says, do you respect wood?
Oh, I love it. It is one of the most famous. It's got to be one of the most famous things from this show. Like the run of Curb. They had to mention it in the finale. They had to. Anyway, so Greg Kinnear gives his opening statement. And as in the Seinfeld finale, he is going to show a pattern of behavior here. Not respecting the law. So meanwhile, while he's giving his opening statement, Larry is scratching his ear with a pen. Like, and he's saying like that Larry does all these bad things. He's, you know, and Larry's like, I don't know where he gets that from. And I love Leon's in the courtroom. And he says, this motherfucker's good. You're fucked. So then his lawyer gets up to give her opening statement. And Larry starts going after a fly. And it's so funny to me. It's from like the fly's perspective. It's like a POV shot of the fly going around.
Yeah.
And he's whacking at it, swiping at it. He finally gets it. And then he knocks it on the ground and it's still alive. And he stomps it. And the jury's like, what the hell is this guy doing? It's pretty funny. I mean, it shows he doesn't care. So.
Yeah, he really does not care.
I mean, I guess he feels like he's going to get off, like who would sentence this guy, but he doesn't believe that he's done anything wrong. So,
but he's also like, you know, it's gonna be like kind of boring to sit there, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. He's sitting there all day,
and so because he's Larry, he's fixated on the fly. He needs to take care of the fly. Did anyone see this? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
right? He probably thinks anyone in their right mind would do that. Can't let a fly just fly around. So anyway, the first witness they call is Mocha Joe. You said he would be back.
Yeah, he's back. And he wasn't back as predictions kind of went south. Because I thought that maybe they were going to say that lawyer Mocha Joe was actually Mocha Joe.
Right.
Somehow. But no, he was just playing two different characters, apparently.
Right. Which Larry fired him. If you want to go back and listen to I think it was the first episode of this season, Larry fired him because he looked like Mocha Joe. And of course, it's the same actor. So
yeah, with a mustache.
I know, with a mustache. So anyway, Mocha Joe is on there. I love that he's like, so, you know, what do you do? He's like, oh, I have a coffee shop. Maybe you've heard of it. Like, what? Why would you have heard of Mocha Joe in Atlanta? You know, I don't know, but he talks about Larry opening the Spite store next door to him. And then he got a call one night that Mocha Joe's was on fire. Yeah, go back and listen to our...
And then, yes. When I got there, he was standing there watching my beans burn.
That's right.
He burned my beans.
He burned my beans.
Didn't burn my beans. He burned my beans.
Yeah, because he thinks that Larry burned down, I guess, both their stores. He says, I didn't start that fire. Joey Funkhauser started that fire with his big new penis. That's what he said. So next character witness, Mr. Takahashi.
This is very much like the Seinfeld finale, which was fresh on my mind from seeing it yesterday. So they just keep bringing in all these old characters. It was awesome. Right.
people have been wronged. So yeah, Mr. Takahashi, they ask him if he's had any issues on the golf course. He says he never yells four. They show him hitting, what's his face? The deaf actor there. And they talk about, as we mentioned, killing the swan, which was a great episode, the black swan. And he says, it was self-defense. The swan was coming at me, which is true, right? I mean, I don't know. That's where it gets a little fuzzy, right? I mean,
I don't know if a swan is going to do that much damage to a person.
That was a pretty big swan. I mean, swans can peck at you. I remember in our town, they used to be like, don't feed them. You know, remember Island Grove there, you know? Now they put up a fence. You used to be able to go and feed them, and now, but they like come after you. They're nasty. If I was Larry and that thing was coming at me and I had a club, a golf club, I mean, who's to say? I wouldn't swing at the thing. I'm just saying. Not because, oh my God, I'm going to kill this swan, but because like, yeah, you know what I mean? Just out of
Your first reaction, your gut instinct.
Right.
Not you malicious. Do have a big weapon in your hand.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm with you.
So then we get a sword de ska. Then we get Vindman is back. And he talks about, again, they compare Larry to Trump and Putin. They like compare the three of them. And he's talking about he was going to bribe. He heard him on the phone bribing a councilman. And he says, it was a perfect call.
Yeah. Larry with this perfect call thing again. Some of these jokes are a little bit, not the do you respect Wood thing, but that was a little, there were like a couple of little corny moments. And I thought that one was a little corny. I mean, it was a callback and it's a finale, so who cares? But I just like, some things in this episode were absolutely like hilarious, and then a couple things I thought were a little bit like not even jammed in there. I just thought they were a little corny. They're hanging a lantern on it, I guess. I don't know.
Hanging a lantern on it. Yeah, right. So the day is over. Larry is complaining to Jeff. Jeff's like, well, yeah, we'll have to figure something out. He's like, but I gotta go. I need an anniversary gift. And Larry's like, what? What do you mean? He just had a birthday. He's like, I got to get her a gift.
Got her a birthday gift.
Yeah. He said, you know what? She really liked that salad dressing. He's like, but Auntie Ray won't give it up. And Jeff says, maybe I can convince her. And he's like, watch. And he calls up Auntie Ray's. She answers the phone and he says, my name is Jeremy Gunderson. My wife had an allergic reaction to the salad dressing. The doctors are here. They need to know every ingredient. And Larry's in the background pretending to be his wife, going like, ooh. And she's like, oh, no, I can't give that out. And I love that Auntie Ray keeps saying, Mr. Humberson, like, she does not get the name right at all. To say her.
Gunderman?
Yeah, like, but she does, like, he's like, my wife, Karen Gunderson. And she's like, okay, Karen Gunderson, we're going to get you better, honey. So she knows Karen Gunderson, but every time she has to say Jeremy Gunderson, she keeps like, Bunderbin.
This is the catawampus.
Yep. Jeff says.
That's what Jeff says. She's my going all catawampus.
She's all catawampus.
I'm sorry, what? What the heck is wampus, Mr. Gunderson?
What the heck is wampus? I don't know what catawampus is. Cattywampus? Catawampus? I actually kind of, I'm looking it up.
Catawampus.
Merriam-Webster.
Familiar with the term.
You are?
Yeah, it just means like all upside down and piggly
wiggly. Awry. So that's pretty much, askew.
I know all sorts of
weird. It's gone all catawampus.
View askew,
right. So anyway, she gives him the recipe. Larry writes it down. They give it to Susie. They give her a bottle, which I guess they made. I don't know. They make a bottle or do they just go buy it? I don't know. But they have a bottle and the recipe.
No, they made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're the best husband.
Yeah. And then Larry's doing the thing he did when Jeff gave her the birthday present. Oh, baby.
Yeah. Doll. Look at this guy.
Look.
I know. It's so exaggerated.
Baby doll. I wonder if that's like a reference to like an old movie or something, because he does it twice.
Yeah, he does. feel like he does it a lot.
Oh, baby doll. Look at this guy from Chicago. Yeah. Oh.
So Leon comes in. Yeah, I love it. He's been watching Seinfeld. He's like, that Kramer's too much. He keeps walking in the house unannounced. I need to put a fucking salon door on that shit or whatever. And I love it. He doesn't even really get that he's basically Kramer, you know, coming in and taking food all the time. So they're talking about what they're going to do. And Leon says, you know what you need? You need sympathy. And he tells him the story about Horsecock Williams. I love that name. And he would come in and, like, he would do all this bad shit, but he would come in and pretend to have seizures or something and come in a wheelchair and be all that. He's like, he came up with this idea for wheelchair hookers. And Larry does make a reference. He's like, have you ever had sex with someone in a wheelchair? Because I have. I remember, do you remember that one where he had them in his phone as like Wendy wheelchair and Denise handicapped?
Then Leon says some hilarious rip. He's like, never done that, but have you ever fucked somebody on crutches? Because crutches make that person like an animal. They're like an extra pair of legs. Leon is absolutely the best.
Oh, yeah.
Best improvised. I mean, it's actually hard to say. You can't say who the best improviser is on the show, but when Leon's making up his little riffs, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm going to miss it. So, but Larry gets an idea listening to the Horsecock Williams story. And the next day in the courtroom, he has Susie in a wig and a wheelchair, like an oxygen tank and everything. And he's like, oh, baby, oh, you made it. She is his girlfriend, or pretending to be his girlfriend, and he said she got hit by a bus, whatever. And I
gave her mouth to mouth. I brought her back to life. Took her to the hospital. We fell in love. Then he says, and I moved to Pacoima to be with her. So I had to look up Pacoima. It's like, I guess, some sort of seedy part of L.A. or like kind of like a lower class part of L.A. I don't know. Do you remember
Pacoima? No, I did not. I had not heard that of that place.
I didn't know it was in L.A. I was like, why did he say he moved to Pacoima? Everybody knows he lives in L.A. Like,
right.
Because it sounds like it could be in Arizona or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's kind of like seedy L.A. No. I love what he says. So like, oh, I carried her to the emergency room. It wasn't that easy. Like, then she makes him tell the story about he works with children. He works in an animal shelter. What a great guy he is. I love the lawyer's like, what is this? And he's like, just go with it. So Greg Kinnear calls in a bunch of more witnesses. One of them from one of my favorite episodes, the Jewish woman who jumped off the ski lift.
Yeah, there was something about the plates because the milk and meat plate. There was something about the plates.
Dairy and meat cannot touch. Yeah,
she goes, what's your full name? And he goes, Rachel Rahili Shuli Hamda Sarala Heinman. She has this big, long Jewish name with like seven names in it.
Well, she is, she is Orthodox. So, yeah. But I love that. Yeah, the thing with the plates is so funny because I guess if you have a plate that's touched meat and dairy, you have to bury it. And Larry's like, after coffee. No burying before coffee.
That's right. Because he's pretending to be Orthodox, right?
Right. So he's supposed to know these things. And he's like, oh, yeah, no burying before coffee.
Oh, man, that'd be a good one ever, is it?
That is a classic. I love that one. Yeah,
that's a great episode back to front.
Yeah, it is. So, they're on the ski lift, and it breaks down, and she can't be with a man after sundown. So she's like, well, one of us is going to have to jump. And he says to her, what are you, fucking nuts?
Yeah.
And she jumps. And then I guess she destroyed her knees. Like
Did you see the big diagram she made?
Yeah.
Like she's like, I made a diagram. It's like 45 feet. Like, and then it was like a picture of her, like, x-rays and stuff.
Yeah. And this is another one.
That's a long way to fall. Think about it.
Yeah.
That's like four stories high.
Yeah, she wasn't
fucking
good. Nice. That's why he wasn't going to do it. I mean, I think Larry was like, no, I mean, there's special circumstances. And she's like, no, there are no special circumstances. So, I don't know. I don't know how you would do it if you were somehow trapped, if you were a Jewish woman. Yeah. Oh, well. So then he calls another person from one of my favorite. This is another one of my favorite episodes. I know I keep saying that, but this is just insane. Like these two women back to back are from two of my favorite episodes. This is the one where he was taking this drug, medication that gave him made his urine come out really fast and hard, and it sprayed up and it landed on a picture of Jesus that they had in their bathroom. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it made it look like he was crying.
Yeah, and this woman thought it was a miracle, and they were gonna end up.
That was the Seinfeld season, I think.
Yeah,
and that's the woman that he fired because she was too pudgy or something.
Well, no, she was a little. I mean, I don't think he doesn't necessarily fire her because she was pudgy, but she wore half shirts.
Yeah, and then he was falling off the building. He had to grab onto her.
Yeah. Well, first he was they were like, well, you'll have to talk to her. And Jerry's like, I'm not doing it. So Larry's like, just another inch is what he's trying to say. Just say, hey, we have a dress code. Could you maybe wear something a little more professional? And or whatever. He can't just play it right. He has to be Larry about it, because he wants to express his discomfort. He can't just kind of lie and say, hey, this is an office. But anyway, when he says another inch, in the next scene it's another inch up, sort of revealing more of her midriff. Yeah, instead of down, he was trying to get her to another couple inches down, it went up. So anyways, yeah, then they fire her, or they were going to fire her, I think, and then she quit because they were going to take the picture of Jesus on tour with them or whatever, because it's a miracle.
Yeah.
Anyway, classic episode. But yeah, so she relays the peeing story, and, again, it makes Larry look bad. And then they have the Hiroshimase! They call that guy in, which is classic. Hiroshimase! Hiroshimase! And they all just yell at each other. They show all the people yelling at each other. Then we get Irma. I knew we'd see Irma again, but this is a quick one. She just says he's an old man with long balls and mental issues. Classic. And then we get Bruce. He's not there. He's on video, but he's giving his little testimony, and he says that Larry gave him COVID, and he still can't smell a fucking thing. He said. Then we go way back to the girl, the Judy episode, which is classic. This is season three or something. I forget. But do you remember this one where first he cut the hair off, a whole thing with the Judy doll. But then but the main thing here is that he wanted to go in the ladies' room, because the men's room smelled bad, and he asked Cheryl to watch the door, but that she didn't, because he didn't do it for her. So he has a water bottle. He doesn't want to I don't know about you, but I don't want something I'm going to be drinking out of in the bathroom necessarily. So he puts it in his pants, down his pants. Oh, also because he can't take it in the theater, right? That's the other thing. He can't.
Right.
So she goes to, the girl comes in, and she's like, thank you for fixing my doll. And she goes to hug him, and her face is kind of, she's short. She's a little girl. It lines up with his crotchal region, and she feels the water bottle, and she takes it. She says, hey, mommy, the bald man is in the bathroom, and he's got something hard in his pants.
Something hard in his pants.
So now she's all grown up, and she says she's been in therapy since she was six or whatever. She tells that story. So this is all going a little awry. Anyway, then they call in Auntie Ray. So she's there. Larry's lawyer calls in Auntie Ray because this is the woman he gave the water to. This she should be able to steer this straight. But
the whole point of this case.
Yeah. But as she's walking in, Cheryl's like, oh, what's going on? And Jeff says, I don't know. It's all gone catawampus. And Auntie Ray hears him say that and realizes it's all a sham. So she gets up there and she starts saying all this bad shit about when she lived with him, he used the N-word or whatever and all this stuff. And they were like, well, you didn't live there. And he's like, well, his wife let us live there. And the last time I saw him, he had a black lawn jockey. And they're all like, ooh, which earlier this season.
And then she said that when that he had an erection when he hugged her too, which I don't remember, but I'm sure is a funny joke in one of those Katrina seasons.
So yeah, Auntie Ray is, she fucks up the name again. And she's all mad about stealing the recipe. And then I love it. She finally just gets
up. I know it was you, Bernie Bonderman.
Yeah.
Karen Bonderman trying to steal my recipe.
And I love it. She storms out. She just says, fuck it. Like she's.
Yeah. Fuck you, Larry David. Fuck you, monkey ass friend. And then Susie gets up out of her wheelchair and everything.
Yeah.
How could you? You stole that recipe, Jeff. What a piece of shit. You lying piece of shit.
Yeah.
Stealing a fucking anniversary gift. Take it off, take that recipe, Jeff, and shove it up your fat fucking ass.
Larry David is like, she fucking, oh my God. Like, he does that exaggerated, like, she's walking.
That was another corny part, I thought, like, just the whole Susie thing.
The fake, you know, sympathy thing. Yeah, I guess it was kind of.
Yeah, and have it be Susie, because Susie was there the whole time.
Yeah.
And she even comes back like in a fucking Bugs Bunny cartoon, like she comes back the next day to court, like nothing happened.
I know. Well, I guess, you know, anymore. Hey, the wig.
You know what I mean?
The wig, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But she's not even mad at Jeff the next day.
No, I know. Yeah. She's just, well, you know, Jeff and Susie, they fight every episode pretty much. So
that's what they do.
Then we get, yeah, Ted is still out there. Now he's getting arrested. And he's like, oh, hey, those handcuffs are a little tight. Arrested for protesting. And then here we go. Next scene. Like,
don't touch the hair.
And the next scene. Jerry Seinfeld shows up. It's so great. Jerry and Larry. And he's like, what's going on? It's a bottle of water. And Larry actually says, yeah, let that be a lesson to me. So the lesson that he's going to learn is not to be nice. Not to give people.
Yeah.
This is also amazing. I love this bit. So this is just. Must be how they are in real life, right? I mean, they wouldn't put this in there unless this is some truth to it, right?
Because Jerry goes, oh, it must be boring. It, like, the only cue he needs is, must be boring. What do you think about in there?
Yeah.
That's all he says.
Yeah. What do you think about in there? Yeah. And he goes, he talks about this great story about the bearded lady from the circus. She's actually really hot underneath the beard. And they're like, oh, she's going to shave every day for you, twice a day. She's going to shave twice a day. And he's like, razor or electric? Oh, razor. And I love when they're talking about her beard. Like, he says, rabbinical? And they're like, oh, she's going to have a 5 o'clock shadow, though. It's like, well, you know, she'll shave twice a day. He's like, yeah, but if I'm coming home at 4:30, I'm going to be on that ledge. So, yeah, like, that's yeah. That must be the kind of conversations they have, you know?
Yeah, totally. And it's very much like it's the best of Jerry, it's the best of Larry. It's the comedians and cars getting coffee, riffs, you know,
exactly.
And it's it's Larry and Jerry doing what they do the best.
Yeah, doing what they do. And I love it. They do these like news reports, like, you know, they show like MSNBC and whatever, like, and then they have the Spanish
They
have the Spanish lady. Blog. She's talking about the black swan. There's like a picture of the black swan. So anyways, the next day, Larry takes the stand. And she's asking him, how hot was it? He says, oh, it was a scorcher. I mean, I was sweating. And I don't sweat. Sometimes I sweat during intercourse. Like, why you would say that?
But he's like going off on it, too. He's like, you know, it's funny. You know, all of a sudden I'm sweating. I mean, I don't know why. He's like, okay, like, let's move on. He wants to like riff on that for a while, you know?
Yeah. And then they're like, they were just talking about how sad it was. There was no shade. And like, how can you not give someone water? And he's like, oh, it was terrible, terrible. And he tries to do the heart hands thing and he can't really do it. And he goes, you know, like, he's like.
I saw him. He was at some game the other night and they had him on the Jumbotron, and what he did was he did that same thing. He was like trying to make the heart.
So then Greg Kinnear gets up and he's got a few questions for him. He says, have you ever stolen anything? And he's like, no. And he's like, did you steal flowers from a dead woman's memorial? And they show that clip, They said, did you try to steal a golf club from a coffin? And he said, that was my 5-wood. Like, all this stuff that he did. Oh, it was so great. And then, like, you know, Vindman's letter. And then I love it. One point, she says, objection. And Dean Norris overrules. And he's like, really? The guy goes, yeah. And then another one of my favorites, they bring up the beloved aunt from the obituary. You remember this one? It was actually a typo.
Devoted sister.
Yeah.
Beloved cunt. It's a typo.
It's a typo. And he says, well.
But then, fact is, I heard you was actually a bit of a cunt.
I know. He doesn't feel any remorse at all.
Yeah. I heard you was kind of a bit of a cunt.
Oh, my God. I might as well say this now, because whenever I ever could tell this story, but I used to work. At my former job, there was a person that my friend and I used to call Beloved Aunt. We did not like this person at all. And we used to just say, BA is in town. I saw BA today, which stood for Beloved Aunt, which, you know, was a reference to
Beloved Aunt.
The guy being a bit of a cunt. He was terrible.
Oh, I love it.
I know. But so no one would know, you know, what we were talking about or who we were talking about. So we had a lot of those little, code words. It was great. Anyway, so Leon, this is one of my favorite scenes too. Leon and Jerry are sitting next to each other in the courtroom, and Leon's like, I'm watching that Seinfeld shit. I want to know what happened to the tapes. He's like, what? You know, because he's like, you got a girl every week. What happened to the tapes? You know what I'm talking about. And Jerry's like, no, I don't.
Every week you get new ass, right?
Yeah. But I love, he's like, you know what I'm talking about. Jerry's like, no, I don't. Like, what do you mean, the tapes? And he's like, the fuck tapes. And Jerry's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I had them all. That's right. He said he had them all. And he says, the trouble is it's all on Laserdisc. He's like, oh, there's no way to convert that shit. He's like, no, it's too bad. It's 13 unbelievable hours. And then.
I think I'm going to sell it to Netflix.
Yeah, I love it. He says, I might sell it to Netflix. Which, like, that was, like, a big deal. You remember a few years ago when Seinfeld, when Netflix bought the rights to Seinfeld, and it was, like, more, it was, like, a huge amount of money.
I was grateful. I forget, maybe it was on Hulu or something before, but I was, like, I was grateful just, not to just watch the finale, but I have been watching some episodes when I'm bored, and I always see Seinfeld clips on my Instagram.
Oh, very good. Yeah. That is, so that was, I love it. I might sell it to Netflix. Anyway, yeah, we're winding, starting to wind down here. That Larry's lawyer is like, he did a lot of things wrong, but this time he did something right. And, you know, he's not on trial for all the bad things he did. Just this one thing. Like Kinnear says, it's an opportunity to put away someone who is, like, you know, a terrible person. He brings up even more stuff. And some of the stuff, I don't know, like, so there were, like, teenage girls who came to his house on Halloween, and he's like, no, I don't think so. He shut the door.
Yeah, I remember that.
Barely, I don't remember this. Did they dig up his mom's body? I mean, obviously they did, but I don't remember that one. To move it?
I'm with you. Obviously they did. I don't remember it specifically, although it seems like a big one. Maybe she wasn't in the... She was in a Jewish cemetery, and they wanted to move her or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure...
I don't know.
I'm sure it was funny. And then he said he ate a dying dog's last meal. It was like an ice cream thing. And I remember that one. He's like, this is delicious. And he brought the sex offender to the Seder. That was awesome. Actually, I love that one too.
Rob Corddry.
Oh, great. Yeah, Rob Corddry. Like, because you have to tell it your neighbors, apparently. That was like a thing in the news back then. I remember it. He had to tell all his neighbors.
Yep.
They showed him having sex with a blow-up doll and Cheryl walking in on him. I think he was just curious, wasn't he? I don't remember that one that well.
I think he was, like, trying to deflate it.
Oh, that's right.
But Cheryl came in, and it looked like he was fucking it.
Yeah, that's right. He was trying to deflate it. This, and then one of my favorites, too, the Project Runway kid.
This is, like, of all the clips... I think it gets, maybe it doesn't get shared around a lot, but I know this is a really popular thing, like the Do You Respect Wood? Because even people that have never seen the show, if you just see that one scene where he's interacting with the kid and he's like, I like to sew, and he's like really effeminate, this little kid and whatever. Yeah. And like, it's just so funny. It's so funny, the whole thing.
It is brilliant. And he teaches the kid, he drew a Hitler mustache on a guy in a magazine just as he was sitting there waiting.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid's like, what's that? And he's like, oh, it's, you know, a Hitler mustache. You know,
he's a really bad guy.
Yeah, and he tells him about the swastika, and the kid's like, I love it. It goes up, down, like, it's so feminine. But then, yeah, like he sewed a swastika on like a pillow and gave it to Susie. So Larry gets in trouble for that. And then this was famous. When he hired the hooker so he could drive in the
that was a good one too.
Yeah, because he needed he needed to get to Dodger Stadium. The game was starting, and he wanted to get there. And he hired her. But that was like, that got a guy off of like a murder rap or something, right? Do you remember that story?
Like in real life or something?
Yeah, in real life. There was a guy who was an extra in that scene. Like, he was in Dodger Stadium. It was like a news story. They had to like go and like find him to prove that he was there and not wherever he was where they thought he was killing somebody. So like Curb saved that guy's life. I mean, someone did die. Maybe it wasn't even a murder, but it was a...
Well, that guy was falsely accused.
Right. And then there was like, I don't remember this one either. I guess I kind of vaguely remember, but he said he had sex with his uncle. Like he pretended to be an incest survivor. And Jerry's
The thing. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of earlier when I said that he pretended to be racist. He pretended to have sex with his uncle so that he could be in the support group, pick up women or something.
Probably. Anyway, that's kind of the end of the trial, but yeah, they're going to have their final, you know, the jury's going to deliberate, they said. So meanwhile, Jerry goes to that Mexican restaurant, the same one that they told Cheryl to go to. And he runs into Charlotte Copley, and he's like, oh, just come to my house. He's a big fan. He's turning 40. And Jerry's like, yeah, everybody turns 40. You know? So just come to my house and be cordial. And Jerry's like, I can't. I can't be cordial. I mean, that's what Larry should have said, but Larry wanted a little money, I suppose.
Right. And, well, I guess it's kind of like the difference between Larry and Jerry. Like, Jerry just be like, I can't do it. I can't be cordial.
And I love it, too, when he's like, oh, yeah, I like the accent. What is that? You know, South African. He's like, yes, good call. He's like, yeah, I don't get it. You live here. Why don't you just talk like us? I mean, it's kind of
That was funny. He's like, you know what we sound like.
Yeah. You live here. You hear us. So anyways.
I apologize for my Seinfeld. But it's so easy to do a Seinfeld.
Oh, no, it is. Absolutely. So he runs into a guy and he's like, hey, did anyone ever tell you look like Joe Pesci? And they do like the guy says, oh, you think I'm a clown? I'm here to fucking amuse you. And Jerry's like, yeah, that's it.
That's a lie.
But the guy's not happy. The guy kind of storms away. And he's like, yeah, Jerry's thinking a little bit. He's like, huh. Anyway, so they're back in the courtroom. The next day, the verdict is in. And Lewis is there. He says he broke up with Cynthia. He's like, I'm a little concerned. She bought a gun. And he's like, oh, to kill herself? No, to kill you. To kill LD.
Yeah, Larry's like, that's funny. He's like, it's not a joke.
I know, Lewis.
You don't know, I mean, because she's a tosser. She's a liar.
Yeah.
You know what she's capable of.
That's true. But I love it. Yeah, Lewis, who's always talking about his comedy and jokes, like, that was not a joke. He was serious. She wants to kill him. So then Leon goes out and he says, hey, I watched all that Seinfeld except the finale. I'm a little nervous about it. I heard you fucked it up. And Larry just kind of looks at him. And I love that they do this thing where, like, would you please read the verdict or whatever? You know, they do that thing and they hand it to the judge and then they hand it back. I mean, it is weird. And they're like, what is this? Why, you can't make two copies?
Yeah, that's like totally like Jerry.
Yeah, I know. It's like something you would do in a stand-up.
Yeah, well, they can't make two copies?
Yeah, what? You got to read it, then hand it back. It's classic. I mean, It makes me, in a way, I wish there was more Jerry and Larry, like, banter. But also, it's great to...
Right, right.
In small doses.
I think having him be involved in the finale and the amount we get of him is, like, the perfect amount. And, like, kind of they both owe each other. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it was a perfect amount. The only thing that could make it better is another season and another Seinfeld season where right. Jerry's just in it the whole season. You know what I mean? But right. Yeah, I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I as much as I want more, I think this is a good amount because it just makes you want more. You know what I mean? But it's not overly done. It's just great. You know, sometimes less is more. That's it. And I love it, though.
You're going to think, like, the Seinfeld season of Curb, when was that?
Oh.
The seventh season.
Yeah.
Or the tenth season?
No, it wasn't the tenth season.
2009.
Yeah.
The seventh season, but in 2009. So, I mean, that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, it was a great season. Might watch some of those. But, yeah. I think it's perfect. It was great. I mean, I love the wittiness, you know, the banter, like I said, but I don't, you know, maybe if there was more of it, you'd be like, all right, well, let's move along, you know, with the story.
Yeah. And having him interact with Leon because he never really got a chance to
is right.
Looking great, too. You know what I mean? Because Leon wasn't around in that seventh season.
I don't think so. But yeah, so anyway, Larry is guilty and the judge sentences him to the full penalty, which is 1 year in prison. And he says, I hope you learn your lesson. He's like, oh, what am I going to do for toothpaste and floss? Is there a store? Or do they just leave it like a hotel?
Can I bring my own toilet paper? What about my phone charger? What, do you think he's going to have his phone?
Yeah. He's like, Leon, get my phone charger. He's like, you don't have one. He's like, I gave it to you. I gave it back. That's my charger. Whatever. Like, they're yelling and yelling as he's being taken away. And then Ted Danson says, I better go do some interviews. Like, he's the one.
Yeah. Right.
So they go, they show Larry in jail. And just like the Seinfeld finale, they go back to the first episode. And Larry is trying to fix his pants tent. Now, that is an homage because that was what the first episode that of Seinfeld. Great. Jerry and George had an interaction about the second button or whatever.
Yep, yep. And he talks about that in when they're in the jail cell. Like, that button's way down in no man's land.
Yeah, he says, totally in the wrong. But I love it. There's a guy in the cell across from him. He's like, yeah, I had to stop wearing corduroy for that. For that reason. He's like, yeah, women don't know what
this is. Yeah, they could misconstrue things.
Yeah. But that's not where it ends. There's more. Like, I thought, okay, this is how they're doing it. They're ending it with Larry in jail.
They kind of do a pan out, too. Like, they kind of, like, that he's talking to the other person that's in jail. They're kind of both talking about the pants tent, and it kind of, like, you know, fades down, and they, like, pan out. And you think, okay, that's it. They're going to roll the credits.
Yeah, because that's how the Seinfeld finale ended, too. The four of them in jail, and it's panning out. You're right. But it doesn't end there. He gets a visitor. They're like, you got someone here. And it's Jerry. And he says, all right, buddy, you're going home. You're a free man. And he's like, what? What happened? What do you mean? He's like, well, I'll tell you what happened. The other night I went to that Mexican restaurant and I don't even like Mexican food. And Larry's like, I won't tell anyone. He's like, what do I care?
Why would I care?
He says, I saw this guy. He looked like Joe Pesci. And I did like the Joe Pesci, Am I a Funny Guy thing. And Larry's like, oh, yeah, no, I saw that guy. The pompadour. Anyway, so Jerry says, I was in the courtroom and I saw that guy. So he was in the Mexican restaurant. He broke sequester. He told the judge, they looked at the security footage from the restaurant. Mistrial. You're free, baby. And he's like, I love it. He's like, you don't want to be in here. Nobody wants to see it. Trust me. Which was the knock on the Seinfeld.
He broke sequester. It's a bad sequester. That was like totally like a George and Jerry thing.
Right. Right. Bad sequester.
When you get sequester, you got a sequester.
I mean, what a classic Yeah, but I love that when he says, nobody wants to see it, trust me, which is like, that's what they said about the Seinfeld finale. Nobody wanted to see them in jail. That was, people wanted them to get away with it. They're walking out down the corridor and he says, this is how we should have done the finale. Jerry's like, ah. And then
they both kind of raise their hands up in you know, in sync. They're like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have done it that for the finale.
I mean, yeah, what's done is done. So then they're all on the plane.
And then it's still not over.
No, there's one more scene to go.
Another scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which apparently was the last scene they filmed.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. They're on the plane again.
They've been sharing clips of that. They're like, Jeff Schaefer goes, this is the last scene of the greatest comedy ever made.
Wow. Yeah, they're all on the plane. Susie lifts up the shade. And Larry's like, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, Ted is there. And he's like, oh.
They're like in a row of seats. And there's like, you know, probably, you know, for filming, there's just an empty row in front of them. But yeah. Like, Susie's way on the other side of the plane. And Larry has his own window. But yeah, I mean, that light doesn't shine all the way over to the other side of the plane. But they make it so that she's ruining everybody in their row, which is all them and their friends. It's all
right.
It's Ted and Cheryl and Leon and Larry and Susie and Jeff.
Yeah. And I think Lewis is there too.
Oh yeah.
Lewis. All alone. But yeah, like you're right. It wouldn't bother me if I was sitting way across from them. But if someone like next to you does that, that is pretty annoying. But basically, they all fight. They're all screaming at each other. Some people want the shade up. Susie's like, go back to jail. Like, they're just...
yeah.
That's how it is.
Trying to watch a movie. Leon's trying to watch a movie.
Yeah.
Glare. It's a community shade. Fuck yourself, Larry.
Yeah. That's how it ends. It ends with them all fighting. And that's pretty much what Curb was, I guess. All yelling, everybody yelling and barking at each other.
Yep.
And scene. Yep. And the credits roll. And that's how Curb ends.
That's how Curb ends.
Well, I guess we already kind of talked about our feelings on it, but do we have any final thoughts? This is it. I mean, thoughts.
You know, this is it. You know, we have to have some final thoughts. I mean, it was interesting to watch this after watching the Seinfeld finale. Like, one of the worst parts about the Seinfeld finale, I think, which I thought it was like pretty funny actually, but you know, I'm not like 9 seasons into like watching it like I am 20 seasons of Curb and it's the finale. Like, I need to know what's happening. I just like watch the sitcom, you know,
right.
Episode of Seinfeld, you know what I mean? So whatever. But when Jerry is like doing stand up in the jail, that's actually, I think, is really bad. He's like, what are you here for? Murder? He's like, well, I guess I'll be talking to you or whatever.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not here to talk about Seinfeld or the finale. But we are here to talk about the Curb finale. That's it. I mean, what an impressive run of shows and what a funny, different thing that they came up with. So much so that to spawn us to make a podcast about it. I mean, Curb is the best.
Yeah, I mean, there's no show like it. It was different. I don't even know if there are sitcoms anymore. I guess there are, but I don't really watch them. You know, I guess you brought up Ghosts earlier. That's like a pretty popular show.
That's a sitcom, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows is a sitcom.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's true.
I mean, this is like, because of the meta nature of it, and I think the pilot even starts kind of as, or like the pilot's kind of like a documentary, almost like The Office kind of thing, where they acknowledge the cameras kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, when they settle on the format, and it's like slice of life, but Larry is Larry, but he's Curb Larry. And, you know, Curb Larry says the things that regular Larry probably wouldn't say. Not to say that it's not a reflection of Larry David's personality. It absolutely is.
Right.
But But the whole format of the show was unique. You know, I think that, you know, probably has tons of imitators and tons of people that are influenced by it. And, you know, like you said in your Substack, like, there, what, 35 years of Seinfeld and Curb?
Yeah, two of them.
Think of it like when I think of when people say, like, what's the best Nolan Batman movie? And I just say, they're all one movie. You know, it probably is The Dark Knight, really.
Sure.
But I kind of see them as one thing. You know, I can kind of see Seinfeld and Curb as like one big thing, especially when they do the Seinfeld season.
Yeah, the Seinfeld
bring everybody back
reunion season. You know? I mean, that is, I recommend if you are a fan of Seinfeld, but you maybe didn't see all of Curb, but definitely go back and watch that one. That one is one of my favorite seasons. There's so many, and I think that's one of the things that's been on. If you go all the way back to the first episode, I mean, that was 20 years ago. Or more than that. Like, so, you know.
Like, we talk about, like, art or a lot, or, like, being creative and, like, doing this podcast we've been doing for a long time and just doing, like, because we like to do it and make comics or writing or whatever. And, like, Larry absolutely got the opportunity to just completely call his own shots for this entire time. Like, take years off and then, like, surprise us with the season.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, like, yeah, maybe I'll do another one. It was just all on his whim. And, you know, in the going back to the finale, just kind of like, I think I'm done. I think I'm going to wrap it up. And I did notice this one thing that somebody said, and I listened to it. It was a clip from like years ago, maybe 10 years ago, where Larry was like asked his stand-up audience, like, do you have any questions? And they were like, the Seinfeld finale, you know, you ever going to do anything with that or something? You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you know, we've talked about it. And then he's like, but it's a secret. Uh-oh. But it's a secret. And so it turns out, like, he kind of revealed and said, there'll be something. Don't worry. Like, to make up for the finale. And that's what he said, like years and years ago. So I think even like when they were mentioning the finale so many times in this season, you know, like with Ted and in the parking lot and
right.
And at the restaurant and stuff, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like Jerry and Larry have like been like, this is how we're going to end my show, but don't tell anyone.
And yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting when you look at it in the Batman, you know, Nolan Batman way too. Like, if you think about, like, yeah, this guy, like Seinfeld was like part one, you know, and then you follow the guy who created Seinfeld, you know, like for 12 more seasons. I mean, like,
right.
And yeah, maybe this was his plan all along. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was. Maybe he just decided, like, it worked out perfectly. I mean, I read somewhere where, like, they wanted to do where he got arrested for the water thing, you know, because that was topical. And they've been doing Trump stuff the last couple seasons, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then when he
red hat and everything.
Right, the MAGA hat. That
you're an asshole.
So I think it kind of all just worked out. Like, but who knows? Like, maybe he decided this was always the way it was going to end. He was going to be on trial for something and they were going to do the Seinfeld finale again. I don't know, but whatever it was, it worked out perfectly, right? I think I read the getting arrested for the water thing was going to be like one episode or something, or like a couple episodes. And then they decided, well, let's make it the whole thing. And I mean, it's just perfect the way it all worked out. And when you're a smart, funny guy, you can definitely come up with like, oh, let's do this. So who knows if this was his plan?
Yeah, like if this came out 2025, let's say, and there was different stuff kind of happening in the news or whatever,
right?
Then I guess like the writer's room would sort of react to that and like kind of curve it toward maybe some actual things that are happening. You know what I mean? Like,
right, right. Well,
or 2026. Or
well, they'll have plenty of
76 years old.
They'll have plenty of Trump trials to, you know, to base stuff on if they wanted to push it off, but been indicted four times. But yeah, like it's just crazy to think like how it all kind of came about, and it's a synergy or whatever, you know. It was just perfect. They got to do the Seinfeld finale. They made it topical. They got to like call out some laws. They got to bring everybody back. All these great memories. I was pleased. And I mean, there were things, like we said, no Funkhauser. There were a couple things I was like, oh, they didn't mention that or this or whatever. But when you have so many great moments, you can't fit them all in, I guess. So
yeah, then it would be like, it was, you know, then it would be like Spider-Man 3 problem. It's like, you already have two villains. Why are we adding another one?
Yeah.
You know? Right. But also even like my critiques of this episode, you know, if we're giving a letter grade, like if it was a regular episode, I would ding it a little bit for like the Susie thing.
Right.
And the things that I thought were maybe jokes written into the script that were like sort of fan service-y, or they just weren't performed in a way that I thought was like up to snuff. But who am I to judge? I mean, it's his fucking show, you know? And also, remember there was like an episode we did last season where I said it was like a little slapstick, like it was a little like Three Stooges. And at the end, I think like Cheryl like directed it or something, and they all ended up like in trash cans with their legs sticking out at the end, you know. And I was like, that's a little like, yeah, you know, on the nose, like Three Stooges or like Marx Brothers, like slapstick. But hey, it's all comedy and it all is like part of the great tradition of what they're doing here. But you kind of forget, and the brilliant thing about Curb is that you forget that it's not real and that it is just a funny comedy show.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You think you're right. It's not like we say it's like a comedy drama, but you definitely feel like these are real people every time.
Yeah, it's true. You do kind of feel that way. You know, you feel like maybe because his name is, you know, he's going by Larry David, and you feel like he's not a character. This is kind of who he is. Yeah. And also like you have to think like they were always trying to be a little different, like push the envelope a little bit more, you know, like, oh, let's do something they're not expecting. Yeah, let's do it this way. We know they love old comedy. So yeah, let's have them end up in trash cans. It's different. You know what I mean? Like it's how these comedy writers work, I guess. You know, they're always trying to something a little different.
And what do you think of the title? And do you have any thoughts on No Lessons Learned? Like, do you have anything to say about that? I mean, I guess you could say No Lessons Are Learned by Larry in this whole series.
Right. Well, I mean, he gets away with it, right? I mean, he doesn't go to jail. And it's not on him. I mean, why would he learn a lesson? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. If he had to sit in prison for a year, who knows, right? Would he have come out and be like, oh, that sucked, I should probably be nicer, you know? Who knows?
Would he be any much of a better person when he got out?
Yeah. We'll never know, right? Because he didn't go to prison. Even the 5 minutes or whatever he was in there, or however long he was in there, all he could do was talk about his pants then.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I love the no lessons learned thing for the insider. Like, I, you know, there was going to be no lessons learned on Seinfeld, and there's clearly no lessons learned here. I love it. I love that if you knew that, then it was funny. But if you didn't know that that was his mantra, it's still funny. So I love it. I liked it. Were you cool with the no lessons learned?
Oh, I love it. I think that you can't really go back and say that Larry has changed his behavior at all, ever. You know, he's always gonna, I don't know, he's always gonna try to use the bathroom that's not meant for customers, or like he's always gonna try to, you know, get by the lady and expect her to move at the movie theater. He's always gonna want to bend the world to his way. And yeah, like, you know, I'll just go to the season, you know, like him be cordial at the party, like that's not really his deal.
But he thought he was being cordial, you know. That's the thing that I love about it, you know. He wasn't like in his mind he was perfectly fine, and that's the great thing about it. And you know, the other thing about the no lessons learned that I guess I should mention is like That was all, like, there's so many finales, right? Like, that you're just like, oh, this is going to be a big, like, you know, characters die and, or whatever. Like, things, it's usually like a finale, you know, because they don't want to. And this was like if he wanted to do another season, he totally could. There's nothing that says.
Yeah.
They didn't end it in a way that, like, oh, you know. I mean, then I don't think they will, but I'm just saying, like, the show didn't end on, like, a note where, like, oh, well, I guess that's that. You know, this isn't Walter White dying at the end of Breaking Bad or whatever, or the end of 6 Feet Under. Like, this is just, this was a season of Curb. They wrapped it up great. And yeah, no lessons learned.
Yeah, and I think they wanted to do it in a fun and different and interesting way, and they succeeded. So absolutely kudos.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Like, I think they, even though it is open-ended to the season we'll never get, like, they did, they threw us for a curveball at the end there, because you're going, oh, here's the trial. It's just like Seinfeld. Here's the trial.
Yep.
It's just like, oh, he's guilty. Oh, it's just like Seinfeld. It's just like Seinfeld. And then to have Seinfeld himself come in and be like, all right, Chuckles, let's get you out of here. Like, it was fucking brilliant.
It was. It was. They did it perfectly. And yeah, like, as far as the characters and show Larry and all that, like, they're. The show will go on. Their lives will go on, essentially, you know. Like, but that's it. It'll be the same thing.
With Mr. Takahashi. And,
that's right. You know, he'll be pissing people off at the club and everything. So, yeah.
I was wondering if there was ever going to be, like, well, we heard that Larry actually did try to learn stuff while he was going to the bathroom. That's why he did the Gettysburg Address stuff. But
yeah, that was real.
Right. That was real, but, like, I was, and they kept, like, talking about, this didn't come to fruition or anything, but, like, also, like, when the boss is, like, watching young Lincoln, there was always, like, a lot of, like, Lincoln and, like, Gettysburg Address stuff, and maybe it was just, like, an overarching, like, talking about how our society now is, you know, people are at each other's throats, like a civil war or something, you know, like, but maybe he just likes Massey in that Young Lincoln movie, you know what I mean? Things can be equally true, or they might not have anything to do with what I'm thinking, but, like, there was, like, a lot of Lincoln.
Yeah. Well, Lincoln was Honest Abe, and yeah, like, I think the learning something in the bathroom, it's kind of that learning theme, you know, like, no lessons learned, but he learned the Gettysburg Address, you know. It is, you know, if you want to really analyze it, yeah, there's plenty of meat in the bone there. But if you just want to sit back and laugh, totally fine too. So
yeah, because I think they would eat. I'm trying to think of not regular Larry, but I'm trying to think of show Larry reacting to us. Reacting to his life, like doing a whole podcast about it or something, you know, kind of like, yeah. Like Shatner, like, get a life, people.
Yeah, I don't think he would take too kindly to it.
You know,
he would think it was weird.
Two guys gonna sit around with microphones and talk about it for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, right. Might be like, okay,
well, give us some of that Seinfeld money.
Yeah, right. We'll do a really good podcast. Get some of that Seinfeld money.
Well, maybe you can sell our podcast to Netflix.
Hey, there you go.
Just an audio-only podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure Netflix should get in on that. They can figure a way around that. They got money.
Yeah, and then Susie and Jeff have to come along and fucking steal our thunder, make their own.
Yeah, they made a podcast.
I watched it, at least the first one. Maybe I watched the second one too. But it's a good companion piece. I like those. HBO podcasts when they have a companion to them, like there was a Succession one and maybe some other one, like, well, For All Mankind has one. Nice. I usually try to check those out.
Yeah, I should check it out.
It's pretty good.
Kept seeing ads.
Yeah, we give you curb fixing, you know.
All right, that sounds good. All right, I guess we should probably
JB Smoove, for the record, since we're on the finale, JB Smoove told the two of us that he liked the name of our podcast.
So that's true. He did.
That's good.
We have that.
A genuinely on laugh.
That's right. And yeah, he is a genuinely funny guy too. In case you couldn't tell, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
If you happen to see him, doing stand up near you, go see him, because he's
definitely funny. See any of these guys that are on the show, they do stand up. They are all very funny.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Clay. Well, thank you for some great episodes, great Curb guests. It's been a slice of heaven.
And much like earlier seasons of Curb, we might be back. It's up to us, right?
That's right.
We might be back.
We're calling the shots.
For now, it's going to bed. And then we'll think about it. And then in a couple of years, we'll come back into another one. Maybe not that long. But
no.
Maybe we won't. But we might definitely get to take a little break.
Yeah, a little break. But go back and listen to all of the Curb guests. And all the other podcasts that we do, What We Do in the Shadows, and our regular League Versus, and G.I. Joe, and it's great stuff. So we're about to hit 500 on that. So
that's right.
Plenty to listen to. Yeah,
it's
thanks,
always
Clay.
Been a pleasure. Every hour has been a pleasure.
Yeah. So thanks to you, and we'll see you at the
club. Let's give a nice 3-2-1 record. 3-2-1. See you at the club. 3-2-1.
See you at the club.
This is how we should have ended the finale.
Oh my God, you're right. How did we not think of that?